Blog Talk Radio.
Your presence, I will
that night, I knew I had to change, make a sacrifice, get up out the game. So much pain I could hardly explain. So many tears you would think they was rain. God made it plain, he wanted my life to use me to bring many people to the light. He changed my heart, he made me different. He made me a preacher that had never existed. I owe him everything, he saved my soul. On my way to hell when I didn't even know the love that he have, I could feel it just flow straight from his throne and it's unconditional. Whom shall I fear other than he? When I look down, it's only one pair of feet. There's not another place where I'd rather be, except in your arms, and you carry me. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for delivering me out of a life of sin. I pray that you deliver someone else out of a life of sin. Not my will, but your will be done. Use me in any way that you will want to. I pray that you open someone's eyes and lead them into the truth, just as you've done for me. Father, have mercy on us all. I pray these things in the name of Yahushua. So be it.
Shabbat Shalom, Kol Yisrael. You're listening to Sound the Trumpet Radio Ministry. I am your host, Raha Pathwell Yisrael. And once again, we do Todah Yah for allowing us to be able to come before his presence. Once again, to share the word of the Most High to our brothers and sisters, those of you tuned to the broadcast today. We want to go ahead and get into the topic at hand. I do not want to prolong any more time. I have some things that I definitely want to deal with. Being that last week's broadcast was not successful, and basically we had 40 minutes of dead air time. But I want to get into this message, and those of you who have your scriptures, I want you to have your scriptures handy and present there with you so you can turn to these verses and chapters and verses that we're going to be dealing with. And the topic that we're going to be dealing with today is, who are the elect and chosen people? And I do want to emphasize that this topic is not to denote any type of racial racism or anything of that nature, but we just want to expound upon the truth of Yah's word and show specifically who are the chosen people and who are the elect of Yah, okay? All believers that place their faith in Yahshua HaMashiach have and will receive salvation through the confession and the persuasion of their minds being changed by accepting the revelation and manifestation of who Messiah truly is. We understand that, and we know that, all right? But that does not negate the fact that Yah has a chosen people, and he has elected a people, and those people are his chosen and his elect, all right? So we want to deal with that aspect. Who are the chosen people and who are the elect, all right? First of all, I also want to also specify that I truly believe that the house of Israel are people of color. We can see through the history, even certain scriptures that deal with that, and I'm going to be doing some studies and videos on that as well, so people will know that that's what I teach and that's what I believe as well. So when we talk about Israel, whenever you hear me refer to Israel, I'm not referring to the current intervention or invention that has been invented by the global world nations and the Roman Catholic Church, as we know those over there who occupy the land today, known as Ashkenazi Jews or Jews. These people are not the true lineage or the true house of Israel. They were and are invented, as Salomo Slan says in his book, The Invention of the Jewish Nation, and also author Kessler, the 13th Tribe. They have documented historical facts in these books. And you can go to these books, you can get these books, read these books. These are very good information, and these are men are currently these are men who basically have good understanding. They are historians, and they are so-called Jews themselves, who are actually pointing out that they themselves know that they are not of the true lineage or the true bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So this is very important for our understanding, because we have to determine who these people are, and the Most High is bringing revelation knowledge to this fact, okay? So I truly believe that the true house of Israel are those who are scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, who have been byproduct of slavery concerning Deuteronomy chapter 28 and other chapters. I don't want to get all into that right now, but I definitely want to talk about who the elect is, because a lot of times in Christianity, people use this word elect, people use this word chosen loosely, and they do not understand the scriptural context of what this is referring to. Yah is talking about a specific people. When he talks about his elect, when he talks about his chosen ones or the chosen, there are two aspects in which you will find in scripture that is associated with the word chosen and elect, all right? The word elect is also referenced to Messiah. Yah calls Messiah his elect, and he also called him his chosen. But also there is another perspective that is used and referred to as elect and chosen, and that is the nation of Israel, Jacob, which are the offsprings and lineage of Jacob, okay? So Israel, we're going to see in Scripture that Israel is Yah's elect, and Messiah is Yah's elect, but we want to talk about the elect referring to Israel, okay? And we're going to go through some writings of the Cilicium of the Apostles, in which they use this word, and they also use Scriptures from Torah to specify who these people truly are, okay? So we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. I want to go there. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. This is what the scripture says. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. Turn there with me, all right? All right, so we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. Messiah said, "For many are called, but few are what? Chosen." All right, so he makes this statement. He said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." So this word "call" in the Hebrew is karah, which means it also is associated with addressing someone properly by name, but it also means to invite or to bid. So the invitation, Yah is giving an open invitation to many. But out of that invitation, and out of those who are called, only a few are selected or elected or chosen. That word "chosen" in the Hebrew is bakia, okay? Which means selected, elected, chosen ones. So we see here that Messiah is plainly saying that many are called, but few are what? Few are chosen. Few are chosen. So we have to understand that Yah has chosen a people. He has selected a people, and those people have not, he has not only called them, but he has elected them for his purpose and for his will and for his plan. Now, what I want to challenge you today is, you have to come to the realization that you're not only called, but are you chosen? Have you been elected? Have you been chosen to be a part of the electing, the election or the elect, okay? Let's go to 1 Kefa chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Kefa chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Kefa chapter 2, verse 9. Todaya. 1 Kefa chapter 2, verse 9. Now look at what Kefa says here. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a chodesh, holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has what? He has called you out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. He said he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, where is Kefa getting this from? Who is he talking about? Is he just talking about anybody, everybody, anyone that says, okay, I'm a believer, or I trust in Yah, I believe in Yah? Is that what he's saying? No, he's not. He is referring this to a designated and specific people. Hallelujah. So we have to understand, people, where was Kefa getting this from? Was he just making this up out of his own logic or his own reasoning? Or was he quoting this particular verse here from out of the Torah, okay? Let's also go. Let's go to here. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15. Let's see where Kefa was getting this from. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15. Debrahim. 10, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15. This is what the scripture says. It says, behold, the heaven and the earth is Yah's, thy Elohim, the earth also, with all that there is. Only Yah has delighted in your fathers to love them. And what? He chose, he chosen their seed after them, even you above what? All people as it is to what? This day. So is this particular verse only referring to back in Moses' time, or is it referring to the time of when Kefa wrote that as well? Or is it talking about our time too? It's talking about all these dispensations, okay? Yah has chosen. He has delighted in our forefathers. And he has chosen what? Their zerah, their seed, their offspring after them, above all people as it is to this day. Now, this is what scripture says. Above all nation, above all ethnicities, above all other people or tribes of the earth, Yah has chosen the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is Israel. He has chosen that people above all people. Above all, the entirety of all nations. He has chosen that people, okay? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter chapter 14, verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2. The scripture says, for you are a what? Chodesh, a holy people unto Yah your Elohim. And Yah has what? He has Bachar, chosen you to be what? A Sagula, a peculiar people unto himself above what? All nations, above all nationalities. That word nation there in the Hebrew is enunciated am. A-M, am. Which means a people, a congregational unit, tribe, troops, attendants, flock, folk, men, nation, people. So Yah has chosen you above all people, Israel. The seed of Yaakov, that seed, the offspring of our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, that seed, he has still chosen that seed. Whether we like it or not. The world may call us niggers, coons, whatever they want to call us. They can kill us. They can try to denigrate us mentally, socially. But Yah said he has chosen that people above all people of the earth. And the reason why we're going through the things that we are going through as a people today is because we have left our first love. We have left our Elohim. So we have to return back to our Elohim, or to the Most High, that he may establish us and reinstitute us as that nation of people, okay? And the only way that we can become that nation of people is to walk in the commandments and statutes of the Most High. We have to walk in his statutes and his commandments. And Yochanan said that his commandments are not what? They're not grievous. They're not grievous. Especially if we have a love for truth and a love for Yah. Whatever he tells us to do, we're going to do it. And we're going to rejoice in it. Because we know in obeying Yah, there is fruitfulness, there is prosperity, and there is delight. Look what he says here. He says, For thou art a Kodesh people unto Yah, your Most High. He has chosen you to be a Sagula, peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 19. I tell you what, let's begin at verse 18. I tell you what, let's begin at verse 17. Let's start there. I think that's a good place to start. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 17. It says this. Hallelujah. He said, and Yah has avouched. Yah has avouched this day to be your Elohim and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments and to hearken unto his voice. Look what he goes on to say in verse 18. He said, and Yah has avouched thee this day to be what? A segula, a peculiar people, as he has promised you, and that you shall what? Shamar, that you shall what? Shamar. Shamar means to protect, to attend to regard, to preserve, to observe, to take heed to what? Kol, all his commandments. Everything that he commands us, every precept, every ordinance that Yah has given us, we should observe those things. Because why? He has called us to be a sagula. That word peculiar, or sagula, means to be a jewel, or proper, or good, special, of wealth, of treasure. So when Yah says that we are segula in the Hebrew, he means that we are precious to him. We are jewels to him. We are something that's proper and good, something of inheritance, his wealth, okay? And it's not because of our own self, not because there's anything that dwells, any good that dwells in our flesh, but it's because he has chosen us. He elected us. His favor, his mercy has been bestowed unto us, that he has elected us and called us to be that righteous people and that righteous nation in whom he is grooming to become what? Kings and priests. He is grooming his people to become heirs, kings and priests, and that means being joint heirs with Messiah. He is joint heirs with Messiah, okay? So there is a heirship, a priesthood, and a kingship in which we are being called to, and that's why Yah is grooming us, he is preparing us, okay? And if we can't get it right in exile, okay, if we cannot set our heart and our face to please Yah in all things, what makes us think we're going to be prepared when the kingdom is established upon the face of the earth? You're not going to take part in that. Because as being a Segula people, we have to do what? What does the scripture tell us we have to do? It tells us that we should keep all his commandments. All right? Now look at verse 19. And he says, and to make thee high above all nations, which he has made in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be a Kodesh people unto Yah, your Most High, as he hath spoken. So Yah has spoken this. He has declared this, okay? So the only way that we're going to become that nation of people that's going to be set above all the other nations, we will rule as kings and priests unto the Most High, being joint heirs with Messiah as well. The only way that we're going to rule as that people, as that nation of Israel, is that we have to keep Yah's commandment. That is what sets us apart. That is what makes us kadosh. That is what makes us set apart in the eyes of Yah and in the eyes of all the nations. In all the eyes of the nations, okay? Todah Yah. Todah Yah. Praise Yah. Todah. I want to do a sound check right quick. Those of you that can hear me, to hear the sound of my voice right quick, we want to pause and do a sound check, okay? So we got some callers on the line. Caller, area code 609-992. I'm going to bring you on the air live with Raha Pathway Israel. We're going to do a quick sound check to make sure the broadcast is coming through at this time, okay?
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom, area code 609-992.
This is Brother Randy.
How you doing, Brother Randy?
Doing all right. What about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, Randy. So you can hear me loud and clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's great. We're going to go on down the line. Shabbat shalom to you. Stay on the air, okay?
Okay.
All right, area code 606-448. Area code 606-448. You're on the air live with Raha Pathway Israel.
Yes, we can hear you.
Shalom, sister. How you doing?
Very good.
Okay, so the broadcast is coming in loud and clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. I just want to do a quick sound check because we had some difficulties last week with the broadcast, and basically they just sent me a notice here with the Blog Talk saying there's some audio situations and stuff and the engineers are working on. They seem to have a lot of problems with this Blog Talk radio, internet radio, so I just wanted to make sure everybody was hearing the broadcast. So we're going to get back to the teaching, okay?
Okay.
All right, shalom. All right, then I just wanted to take a quick interlude and see if we had, if the broadcast was coming out clear today, okay? All right, so let's continue on. The scripture tells us in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 26, it tells us that we are a peculiar people and that we should keep the commandments of Yah, and that by doing this, Yah would set us high above all nations. Okay, and the reason why the nation of Israel, the true nation of Israel, has been dispersed and has been put to a low degree, why? Because the scripture tells us that if we obey the commandments of Yah, there will be blessings. If we disobey the commandments of Yah, there will be curses, okay? So by the disobedience of our fathers, Yah is chastising us. And Yah is chastising us not because as a nation of people, he's chastising us, not because he hates us, because he loves us. He's correcting us because he wants us to get it right. The scripture tells us, for as many as Yah rebuke and chastise, he loves, okay? So that's how Yah demonstrates his love towards us, is through chastising us. It's through punishing us, that we may learn from our mistakes and that we may not turn back into the paths of wickedness and unrighteousness, okay? So the only way that Israel today is going to be that nation that Yah is calling us to be, we have to turn back to the commandments, laws, and statutes of the Most High, okay? Let's go also to Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, okay? So we want to see where Kepha got this from. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we should show forth the praises of the Most High, and that we are a kingdom, a nation of kings and priests. So where was Kepha getting this from, all right? He got this from the Torah. He got this from the Torah, because the Torah explicitly says that we are chosen. We are a chosen people. He's not talking about the Gentiles. He's not talking about all the other nations. Why? Because Yah says that we would be above all the other nations. Yah says that he has chosen us above all other people upon the face of the earth. So this particular verse, in the context of how it was written and spoken by the mouth of the Most High, he is not referring this to all the other nations. He is referring this to his people. And it's very important that we understand that, because once we understand that we are the people of the Most High, we are the chosen people of the Most High, then we no longer have an identity crisis physically, carnally, or even spiritually. Why? Because we will understand the election and the calling in which we have been called to. Exodus chapter 19, Shema chapter 19, verse 5 through verse 6 says this. It says, now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep what my covenant, you shall be a sagula, a peculiar treasure unto me above who? Above all people, for the earth is mine. So Yah says that if we would obey his voice to Shema, see, the word Shema in the Hebrew, or Shema, or the English word here, it just doesn't refer to the internalizing of our ears, but it means to hear and to listen to what's being spoken and to act upon that which you are listening to or hearing. So when we hear the voice of Yah, or Yah speak to us through his word, or through the mouth of a messenger, teacher, prophet, whoever it may be that speaks under the inspiration of Yah, then we are to obey what is being spoken, because the word that is being spoken is the influence, it is the utterance of Yah speaking. So when we hear those words, we obey them, we walk in obedience to them, and this is what makes us a peculiar treasure. This is what makes us a chosen people or elect people before the Most High. Why? Because we observe all of his commandments, his laws and statutes. This is what makes us special, not because we share the same DNA or bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even though that is important and it is associated with that calling, okay? But that is not what sets us apart. What sets us apart and makes us a segula, or a peculiar people, is that we safeguard and that we keep all the commandments of Yah, our Most High. Look what he says in verse 6 of Shemoth, Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. And he says, and you shall be unto me, what? A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto who? The children of Israel. He said, these are the words that you speak unto Israel, because Israel is my elect. Israel is my chosen. I have called them. I have chosen them. I have elected them to be a Segula people unto me. And the way that you be a Segula people, Israel, is that you obey the voice of Yah, your Most High, and that you shamar, that you keep the covenant that you have agreed, our arrangement and our agreement between the Most High and between his people. As us being the people of the Most High, we are to uphold our end of the bargain, our end of the covenant, and that is to walk in all the aspects, in all the commandments, in all the ways of the Most High, that we might be that segula, that peculiar treasure above all people. Why? Because the earth belongs to Yah, and the fullness thereof belongs unto him. And not only that, when we begin to shamar and keep Yah's commandments, Yah says that you shall be what? A kingdom of priests and a kodesh nation unto Yah, your Most High. This word kingdom here in the Hebrew, it is enunciated mamlacha, mamlacha, which means you shall be a dominion, a domain. You will be a realm, or you will reign. You will rule. So when Yah says that you shall be a kingdom, he says you shall be a dominion of Kohen, of priests. All right, let's look up the word priest so we understand what these words mean. This word priest in the Hebrew is Kohan, which means one officiating as a priest or acting priest, a layman or a prince, a principal or an officer. So we will be the priests or the principals of Yah. We will officiate, or we will officiate what the commandments, statutes, laws, and ordinance of Yah that he has called us to do, and the nations of the earth will have to abide by those same stipulations, okay? One thing I want to also emphasize, if you look up the word Israel, this word Israel, in the Hebrew, it means he will rule as Elohim. That's what Israel means. It is a symbolic name of Yaakov, all right? It's a symbolic name of Yaakov. Therefore, the offspring of Yaakov, the nation, was called Israel. That word Israel simply means that he will rule as Yah. So Yah has called the nation of Israel to rule as Yah rules in the earth realm. He has called us to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation unto himself. We got to understand the depth of this meaning. Because when we understand our true purpose as Israel, I'm not talking about these false imposters over here today, okay? I'm not talking about them, those of the synagogue of HaSatan. I'm talking about a people whom fit the prophetic and prophecies concerning the end times. Yah said that he would gather his people, not some type of global world order or United Nations that come together and say, okay, we're going to make these people the true people of the Most High. Yah himself said that he would come and he would gather his elect from the four winds of the earth, from the four corners of the earth. Why? Because they have been dispersed. They have been brought into captivity because of their disobedience, because of their rebellion against Yah. Yah is chastising that people. But Yah is going to recover a remnant of that people. He's going to recover an elect of that people. He's going to recover a chosen remnant of that people, consisting of all 12 tribes. And God knows those that are his. He knows those that are his, okay? He knows those. So he's going to gather his people. And that's why we see the great awakening of truth being instituted. We're seeing the dry bones coming together. Why? Because they are hearing the word of Yah. Those dry bones are prophecy concerning Israel. And we see truths coming out about who these people truly are. So we have to understand that as we see Yah bringing Israel together, he's bringing Israel together for a purpose. Why? Because he has to fulfill the plan and promise that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov concerning their offspring, okay? So this is where Apostle Peter or Kepha, this is where he was quoting from, okay? Now, we want to look and see if there's any indication that Peter could have been talking to some other nation, or was he specifically talking to Israel? Was this letter specifically written to Israel, or was it written to the Gentile nations, or people other than Israel, okay? Now, I understand that we all scripture is profitable for doctrine and for learning, for understanding, okay? I understand that. And we can associate the scriptures with many things that go on in the world today and with our lives in general. But that does not negate the fact that the writings of the law and the prophets and the apostles had a context in which they were written and a purpose in which they had written it for, okay? So what we want to investigate is the purpose and to whom Kepha was writing this to, okay? So we're going to look at that right quick. Let's go to 1 Kepha, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, okay? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Once again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, many people that would read this particular verse here would automatically think that he's talking to Gentiles, because here in this passage of scripture it names Gentile countries. But in order to understand who he's talking to, you got to look these words up. Look them up in the Greek lexicon, okay? Look these words up in the Greek lexicon, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, okay? I'm going to expound upon this. This is very deep. This is very, very deep, okay? And those of you who have not heard this before, you are going to be shocked if you haven't heard this before. Some of you may have, okay? I did a teaching on this a couple of years back as well, so I just want to revisit some things concerning this particular topic. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Peter, a Shalishim, an apostle of Yeshua Mashiach, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, okay? Now look at this. He says, the strangers scattered throughout Gentile or European countries. These are European countries, Gentile countries, Greek countries, okay? Roman countries, basically. Now let's look up this word stranger here in the Greek. This word stranger in the Greek, this word means a alien alongside. That is a resident foreigner. It is the same Hebrew word. If you look up the word stranger in the Deuteronomy or Exodus, where it talks about the strangers and things of that nature, that Hebrew word is geah, which means an alien, a sojourner, a stranger, or a foreign resident, okay? So this Greek word has the same synonyms and same correspondence with the Hebrew word geah, which is the Hebrew word for stranger, okay? So we see here that stranger is a foreign resident. It is an alien, okay? Or what we call immigrant alien. It says scattered throughout, okay? Very important that you look up this word scattered throughout, because this word scattered throughout in the Greek vernacular, it means dispolera, which the word dispersion comes from the Greek word dispolera, okay? This word here is specifically and designated talking to the converted Israelite residents in Gentile countries which are scattered abroad. That's what that word dispolera is referred to in 1 Peter chapter 1, where it says scattered throughout. That Greek word is dispolarai, which means dispersion. And this in the Greek text, it specifically means, that is, specifically and concretely, the converted Israelites. So there were Israelites that didn't believe in Messiah. There was Israelites who followed the customs of the tradition of the fathers and stuff of that nature. Therefore, these Israelites were converted. They were converted into what? Belief in Messiah, Messianic Israelites. All right? These Israelites were residents in Gentile nations, in the Goyim, or other nationalities, okay? They were residents in other nationalities. So 1 Peter, the whole five chapters of the book of 1 Peter was written to Israelites. That's why he referred to them as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Why? Because Deuteronomy, we read in Deuteronomy, we read in the book of Exodus, that Yah refers to Israel as a peculiar people, as a kingdom of priests, all right, and as his chosen. He has chosen Israel above all other nations. So Kefa was writing to Israelites who were scattered in Gentile countries, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. He was writing to these Israelite residents in these countries. Why? Because they were strangers in these countries. Why? Because these countries were not a part of their geographical lineage. The Israelites were not from countries of the tribes of Japheth, or European countries. So these Israelites, they were dispersed, they were scattered in these Gentile countries, and Kefa was writing to them to make sure that they understood that they were the chosen and that they were the elect people of Yah. And we see the same scenario today, my brothers and sisters. Those of us who are of the true lineage of Israel, our forefathers came on slave ships, as it was prophesied in Deuteronomy chapter 28. We are the offspring of the seed of Israel. We are scattered where? In numerous Gentile countries, in numerous other nations. So Kefa was writing this in his time to Israelites that were scattered, as we are scattered today. And Israel is still, even though we reside in foreign countries, even though we are strangers and pilgrims in all these nations that we have been scattered to, Yah still wants us to know that we are his elect. We are his chosen people. We have been chosen to be a segula, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. It doesn't make no difference how things may seem. Yah has chosen and elected a people to be a segula people, to be a peculiar people, to be a special people, to be a proper people unto Yah, our Elohim. And the only way that we can walk in that election in which we have been called to is that we have to return back to the law, statute, and commandments of the Most High and believe and have faith in our Messiah, which is Yahshua HaMashiach. So Kefa was, he wasn't just writing this just to be writing it. 1 Kefa chapter 2, verse 9. He just didn't write that just to be writing it. He just didn't come up with that of his own self. He referred back to the law and to the prophets. Why? Because the law and the prophets specifically tells us that Israel is Yah's elect. That's why Kefa, he had to write to the Israelite believers, the Messianic Israelite believers who were residents in other countries, in Gentile countries. The same as it is today in our present time. The United States is a European Gentile country. Great Britain, Canada, Australia, even Africa was named after a European. So throughout the whole earth in other nations. They have become strangers, estranged from their native land, estranged from their homeland, estranged from the land of inheritance that Yah promised our forefathers. And because our forefathers disobeyed Yah, the land spewed them out. And Yah said, I'm going to scatter you, I'm going to chastise you, you're going to go into slavery. And then after those years are accomplished, Yah says that he is going to resurrect us. He is going to restore us as a nation of people. But before we can be restored as a nation of people, we have to recognize Yah's law, statutes, and commandments, because that is what makes us a segula. That is what makes us a peculiar people. That's what makes us peculiar. That's what makes us special. Hallelujah. Now look at this again. Let's read. Let's continue in First Kefa. All right, First Kefa. First Kefa chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, I cannot emphasize this verse enough. I want you to go back, get a Greek lexicon. All right, and look up these words here in First Kefa chapter 1. Look up the word stranger and look up this phrase scattered throughout, and you're gonna see that what I'm telling you. That's what he's talking about. Now, if you were just to read this without understanding the linguistics of the word, the meaning of the word, the archaic meanings of the words that are used, even in the Greek sense, you would think he's talking about Gentiles. You would literally think that he's talking about Greeks or this particular book of First Kefa, the five chapters. A First Kefa was written to anybody and to everybody, but it was not. It was specifically written to Israel, Israelites. And that's why in verse 2, he says this. He says, elect. He says, elect. So who are the elect? Why would Kefa be referring to Israel scattered in Gentile countries as the elect or elect? Why? Because Israel is Yah's elect, all right? Hold that verse right there. I want you to hold that right there. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54, okay? And we're going to come back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. But I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4. I'm going to give you some time to get there because I want you to definitely see this. My brothers and sisters. The word of Yah is so powerful, man. The word of Yah, it just amazes me every time, you know. You know, it's amazing how you can read the same verse over and over again, but then one day Yah just bring total revelation to that. And it just causes you just to see it in a whole nother different perspective, in a whole different light, okay? I'm still giving you all time to get there because I definitely want you all to see this, okay? I definitely want you all to see this. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4. Okay, we're going to begin reading. Now, he says, for Jacob's sake, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel, who? My elect. He said, Israel, my elect. Now, this is the word of Yah. This is not my own perspective. This is not me trying to push some type of racist agenda, but this is what Yah says. You either like it or you don't like it. Yah don't even care whether you like it or not. His mouth has spoken this, not in the mouth of Roah or Rahapathwell. But the mouth of Yah has spoken this. I have been called as a Raha, as a pastor, to bring knowledge and understanding to it so that you may understand your purpose, Israel, that you may understand that you're more than what the world calls you today, that you have been called to royalty, that Yah has elected and chosen you, Israel. You are Yah's elect. He said, Yah called for my servants say, Yaakov and Israel, my elect. He says, I have even called you, I have called you, I have called called you by your name. I have surnamed you, though you have not known me. Even though we did not know Yah, walking in all facets of religion, Islam, Christianity. Some of us didn't believe in Yah. Walking in the vanity and the imagination of our own mind, we did not even recognize I have a knowledge of Yah. Yah had already elected us. Why? Because we are of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And see, Yah foreknew you. You didn't know Yah, but Yah knew you. You didn't choose Yah, Yah chose you. If you chose Yah, then Yah hadn't chose you. It wasn't us of ourselves that chose Yah. Yah chose us. He foreknew us. He predestinated us. That predestination is not for the world. That's not for the Gentiles. That's for Israel. Yah predestinated Israel because he foreknew Israel. He even said in the Torah, it says that Israel is the first that Yah knew above all the other nations in the world. Among all the other nations, Israel is the only nation that Yah has known. So the predestination did not come to the other nations or the Gentile nations. The predestination and the foreknowledge of Yah's election is only concerning Israel. And I want to reiterate, I'm not talking about these Ashkenazis over there who are of the tribe of Japheth. If you go to Genesis chapter 10, you will see that one of the downline of Japheth is Ashkenaz, Khazars, these Khazars, whom Satan has set up. They call themselves Jews. They call themselves Israel, but they are of the synagogue of HaSatan. They are imposters. They have been invented to replace or take the place of the true house of Israel. But the true house of Israel, Yah still knows those that are his. And when the time appointed, Yah is going to gather his elect. Yah said he's going to gather his elect. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Israel, because Israel is his elect. That's who Yah is talking about. Let's continue on. Let's go to First Keep again. We're going to be skipping around here, people. Just bear with me. This is something that that we definitely need to understand. First Kefa, chapter 1, verse 2. Now, we established First Kefa, chapter 1, verse 1. That's very important, okay? I hope you all got a good understanding of First Kefa, chapter 1, verse 1, that he's talking about. The strangers that he's talking about are Israelites that have been scattered in Gentile countries. But look what he says. Look what he says in verse 2. He refers to those Israelites as elect, the Bakar. They are the Bakar. They have been chosen, selected, designated by the Most High. Why? Because Israel is Yah's elect. Look what he says here. According what? To the predestination, according to the foreknowledge of Elohim the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto what? Obedience to Shema. To obey. We are a segula people because we obey the commandments of Yah, because that is what makes us special and sets us apart from all the other nations of the world. It says, through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, the sprinkling of the blood of Yahshua HaMashiach unto grace are merited favor unto you, and shalom be multiplied. So, Kefa refers to Israel as Yah's elect, as Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4, refers to Israel as Yah's elect. Hallelujah. I want to go to Romans chapter 9, verse 11. Let's go to Romans chapter 9, verse 11. Todah Yah. I pray that this teaching is blessing your heart today. Romans chapter 9, verse 11. Look at what the scripture says. This is the sovereignty of Yah Almighty. Look what he says. Brother Saul, Romans chapter 9, verse 11. I'm going to give you some time to get there. Todah Yah. The scripture says this. He says, for the children being yet not born. They have not proceeded out of the womb yet. They have not been brought forth into the world yet. He says, having done neither good nor evil. See, y'all did not choose Israel because they done good or evil. Look at this. He says, that the purpose of Elohim, according to what? The election might stand. This word election in the Hebrew is enunciated bachar. Bachar. It means selection, divine selection, or chosen, elected, or election. It says, not of works. It's not because of any good works that Israel had did, not because they had did any type of good work or anything of that nature, but he says, but of him that calleth. He calls you. The reason why y'all is calling Israel today, why? It's because you have been selected to be a part of that election. Remember that Yahshua said that many are kara, they are invited, they are bidden, but few are bakar, they are chosen, they are elected. Look what he says. He says, it was said of her that the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now, you got to remember that Jacob and Esau, they were both Hebrews now. They were born from the same womb. Their father was Isaac. But out of the two, only one was Bachar. Only one was elected. Only one was chosen, and that was Yaakov, because the prophecy said that the elder shall serve the younger. Look what he says here. He said, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Yah? No. There's no unrighteousness with Yah, because Yah is sovereign. He can choose to do whatever he wants to. He can choose to do whatever he wants to. So we see here that Yah has chosen, even in the scenario with Esau and Yaakov, Yah chose Yaakov. Yaakov was the chosen one. He was the elected one, okay? Let's go from Romans chapter 9, verse 11, to Romans 11, verse 1 through verse 36. This is a good read here. Romans chapter 11, I want to begin at verse 1. Paul is going to talk about this election again. Why? Because we see that out of Esau and Jacob, between Esau and Jacob, Jacob had the same bloodline. He had the same father, he had the same mother as Yaakov did. Okay, and I want to talk about something. These brothers out here talking about the white man is Esau, the white man is Esau. But the scripture tells us not to hate Esau. And you got these brothers, they call themselves Israelites, and they out here condemning white folks, telling them that they're the devil and that they hate them. But if that be the case, if their doctrine is that the white man is Esau, then why are they hating Esau? Why are they spewing out so much hate? And we have to understand people. Okay, the scripture says that Esau was ruddy. He was Adomim, which means reddish. Okay, he was reddish. But when you look at the descriptions that describe David and Solomon, it said that they were ruddy too. And they used the same Hebrew word. So was David a white man? Was Solomon a white man? They were from the tribe of Judah. So this doctrine of the white man being Esau, that's a lie from the pit of hell. There's no way it can add up. If being ruddy means being white-skinned, then that means that David was white-skinned and Solomon was white-skinned. The archaic word of Adom, it is a reddish-brown tint. It's a reddish-brown tint. Say for me, many of you have not seen me in person. But those of you, if the future of Yah allows you to see me, you're going to see that I actually have reddish skin. I have reddish skin. My beard has reddish in it. And that's the type of reddish skin complexion that Esau was, and David and Solomon were too. They were Adomim. Reddish brown, that's what type of skin complexion they were, okay? Now, I know I'm deviating off the topic, but I want to bring this to your attention. If Jacob and Esau were brothers, and they were born from the same womb, their father, they had the same father, then that means that all the descendants of Esau would not look like just like Esau, but some of them would share the same traits as Yaakov. And Yaakov's descendants would share the same traits as Esau because they were brothers. They had the same genetic design or makeup in their DNA because they were born from the same seed of their father and was brought forth from the same womb of their mother. So this is apostrophe just to say all white folks are Esau. That's crazy. Because Esau's descendants, they all would have not shared the same features that he shared. The same thing with Yaakov. They would have not shared all the same features of Yaakov. Why? Because in their DNA, there are different traits that are associated with those things. And sometimes those recessive genes and things of that nature, you may see a trait of Esau in Jacob's seed, and you may see a trait of Esau or descendants in Jacob's seed. Why? Because they were brothers. All right? I just want to expound upon that. Let's go to Romans chapter 11, verse 1. Look at what Brother Saul says here. He said, I say then, has Yah cast away his people? He said, Yah forbid. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So Yah has not cast off his people, which he what? Which he foreknew. He foreknew them. He foreordained them. Yah has predestinated Israel. No other nation has received the predestination of Yah, of the election, of the selection, of the chosen ones of Yah, other than Israel. Even Paul said that salvation is to the Israelite first, then to the Gentile. Whether we want to receive that or like it or not. So Yah has foreknew who Israel. He did not foreknew any other nation of people but Israel. That's why Yah says that Israel is his elect. Now look at this. Let's continue on. He said, wrote ye not that the scripture says of Elijah, when he maketh intercession to Yah against Israel, saying, Yah, they have killed your prophets and dug down your altars and I am left alone. He said, and they seek my life. Look at this. But what Yah says answers unto him. He said, I have what reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal. So don't think that you're the only one out here seeking for truth. Don't think you're the only one coming under persecution because you're coming to the knowledge of the truth of things of that nature. Yah has reserved a people unto himself that have not and will not bow their knee unto this Babylonian Baal society, religiously, politically, society that we live in today. I'm telling you, I'm not going to bow my knee to Baal. I refuse to. Look what he says in verse 5, my brothers and sisters. Look what he says in verse 5. He said, even so then. Who is he talking about here? He's talking about Israel. Yah has not cast off Israel, the people that he foreknew. He is specifically talking about Israel. He is not talking about the Gentiles. He is talking about Israel. He said, even so then at this present time, at this time, the time that you hear the sound of my voice, this present time. Also, there is a remnant according to what? The election of favor. The word grace means to be favored by Yah. There is a remnant according to the election. Who are the election and who are the elect? Israel. So he's talking about a remnant that God has elected out of the vast numerability, a numeral mass of Israel. God has reserved to him a remnant according to what? That elect, because Israel is the elect of Yah. So the election has to come out of Israel, because Israel, the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are the elect. Let's expound upon this a little bit, this word remnant, okay? I want you to hold that in Romans chapter 11, verse 5, okay? And I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 22. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 22. Let's talk about the remnant right quick so we can understand this. And then we're going to come back to Romans chapter 11, verse 5. But I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 22 right now. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 22. Hear the word of Yah. Tola Yah. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 22. This is what the word of Yah says. Let's begin at verse 21. It says, look at this. It says, the remnant shall return. They shall shub. They shall turn back. Even the remnant of Yaakov unto the mighty Elohim. For though your people, Israel, be as the sand of the sea. How many of you can go out there to the sand shore and count all the particles and specks of sand? How many of you can do that? But y'all can. Y'all knows every hair on your head. You don't know the number, but y'all knows that number. So he has given us an analogy of the mass and of the number and numerable concept of the vastness of Israel. He compares them to what? The sands of the sea. But look at this. He says, yet a remnant shall return. Only a remnant shall return out of those sands of the sea. The composition, the numerical composition of Israel, only a remnant shall return. They're going to return what? The remnant of Yaakov shall return to Yah. What does this word remnant mean?